Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that later.
Welcome to another episode of We'll Talk About That Later, a podcast about football. Mostly about opinions, sometimes about facts, depending on who you ask. Since you're here listening to us, subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, Google Podcasts, wherever. We are there. And follow us on social media as well. We're on Instagram and Twitter at WTATL Official. And we're also on TikTok at WTATL.podcast. Now, I'm about to tell you what episode we're on.
114. Welcome, guys. How you guys?
You announced that, like, you know in the darts when they get 180.
Yeah, 180.
I don't know, wait. 114. You just announced that, sick.
How's everyone?
Yeah, we're good. We're here. Another week, another podcast. Good vibes today, man.
For reals.
I'm so happy because Arsenal didn't play at the weekend.
This is the first podcast I think you two have come to, what, this, for the longest, where you just don't have to talk about Arsenal.
Yeah. But we will do. Can't help it.
Yeah, we always find a way to get Arsenal into it.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
The Tans is not here.
So. Yeah. She will be shortly, if all goes well. But yeah.
We've got Zimbabwe versus Guinea on in the background. So we're just waiting for...
We are joined by Tans.
Hey, guys.
Big Tans, you don't sound like, so to weird. Be fair, I'm not drawing you out, Abdi, but you're not sounding like you're in a cave, so...
Or underwater.
Or underwater, so step one, good.
How do you know I wasn't underwater?
Oh, that's good. I was worried about that, you know.
Abdi
I
was in the bath,
that
you know?
I was gonna...
I think Junior must have ruined my settings.
Me? Yeah. Advise everything me. Bro.
You're the technician guy here.
Yeah, it's your phone, bro.
So you're right, Tans, couldn't turn up?
Listen, I've got valid reasons, okay? But we're here. I'm just not there in spirit.
No, you're here in spirit, but you're just not here,
here in spirit.
You're here in spirit, but you're not here in person.
I'm here in spirit,
but... My spirit is gone.
Tanya is definitely here, like...
Oh, it's been a long day, man, honestly. Oh.
But you're ready to pod, yeah?
I'm ready.
Depending on your performance today, you might not be invited back next week.
This guy, man.
Well, at least we can hear you, unlike Abdi. Cool. So we're going to start with AFCON, unless Abdi has one of his fairy tale stories that he likes to tell at the beginning.
No, you know what? Actually, no. Can I speak on behalf of A, myself, yeah, but B, on behalf of everyone, including the rest of the podcast and all of our listeners? It's been too long since we've had Abdi's tales, man.
Yeah. I think I might have told this one on the podcast, but do you want me to?
Yeah. Of course. Okay,
cool. This one's a mad one, yeah. So I think I've definitely told Junior this story before, yeah. But basically, while my mum was away last year, yeah, she was coming back after a long time away. This is 2021. So she came back in like September-ish, yeah. Before then, I was cleaning up the house just to get it ready for when she comes back and doing some spring cleaning. That's when, like, you can see here, I've got this... this cast on my left arm.
But so listeners cannot.
But yeah, I was explaining this. So yeah, basically, I got this guy who you know, he does handy jobs. I know him. I've known him for a long time.
Yeah. Okay.
Is this the... I'm not looking to ruin it for people, but...
The towel. So yeah, basically...
Yeah.
I've got to finish the story for the listeners quickly. I'll try to do it as quick as possible. So basically, I get him to fix my shower. What he does, is I told him, put a shelf up in my bathroom to... because I want to put like shower gel and all that stuff in there. And then what he did is he drilled a hole that went through, because where the bathroom wall is also my bedroom wall. So I'm working in my room and then a bit of my wall comes crumbling down. I was like, whoa, slow down. He goes, oh, I'll fix it. And then he goes outside, gets one of them spatula things, yeah? Scoops up a bit of plaster from the tub, comes straight into my house, yeah? And wipes it on the wall. But the wall and the plaster colour is a different colour. So he's made more of a mess. So then he goes to fix the shower and the shower's running for a long time. I'm working. 10 minutes later, I'm like, what's going on? The shower's running. I'm like, all right, he might be testing it. Another 10 minutes go by and it's still running. I'm like, nah, what's going on? So I knocked on the door. The door's locked. And I go, is everything okay? And he goes, yeah, 1 minute, I'm coming. Comes out a minute later, wearing one of my towels, yeah? Yeah, wrapped around his naked body, yeah? Yeah? And he goes, sorry, I was really dirty. I needed a shower. Man didn't ask me. And just went and got one of my towels, yeah, from a different room. Yeah. And then the worst thing was, yeah, is he didn't even dry himself. He was wet and he just wrapped the towel around his body and starts walking around the house acting like a human mop. Wow. So he goes down the stairs, wet in the stairs and all that stuff like that.
Man fell at home.
Nah. And then I was like, he goes, sorry, I was really dirty. And he tried to give the towel back to me. I was like, bruv, you can take it or burn it, but that's not staying this house. Yeah. And there you go. There's that story.
I love that.
It's been a while.
So every time you jump in that shower, there's a vivid picture in your mind.
That towel's gone. It's not my towel anymore, innit? It's his towel, innit? So that's good for you, at least.
This one's for Abdi and his man. But then again,
Oh, man gave you. I thought he was going to give you the wah, wah. But he actually gave you the sparkles.
I'll smash this microphone over your head, bro. What are you saying, Tant?
No, I was just saying. So my mum was just walking around naked in your house.
No, man. He was wearing a towel.
He was right. That was the next step. Abdi was about to say, listen, brother, no. Can I have my towel back? Obviously, I don't mind. Like,
nah. I would have called the police if he was walking around my house naked. That's indecent exposure. You can't do that.
All right.
Let's talk about AFCON, yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about AFCON.
For the most part, for the first round of games, 1-0, 0-0, boring games.
You know what? It's funny you said that, and mm-hmm. I'm not looking to interrupt you, so I'll come straight back to you. But literally before Junior Click recalled, I was well aware of that stat, so I quickly tried to collate how many.
Mm-hmm.
I think there have been 25, 26. The game that's live now might make it 27.
Yeah.
And 15 of those games have had one goal or less in them.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
It wasn't.
You said boring. I don't think they've been boring. Like the Egypt-Nigeria
game. Nigeria-Egypt
game
was a good game.
I thought that was good quality. Nigeria played some really good football. Yeah. They should have been about 6-0 up.
And the worst thing is, Nigeria don't even have some of their best players playing. There's no Osimhen, there's no Emmanuel Dennis.
Yeah.
And you see, they've got a lot. Kelechi's boarding out. You've got this guy called Moses Simon. I think he plays in Spain.
On the left, he was
absolutely boarding out. Yeah, mm-hmm. And he spazzed on that right back so badly that right back did his ACL. And he's out of the
That was after 10 odd minutes, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, he absolutely smashed him out. And then you've got like guy like Joe Aribo, who plays for Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
He's been sick as well.
Pronunciation decent, obviously might be a little bit off.
He did well. That was a good pronunciation. I'm not Nigerian, but I imagine that sounds like that's how
it helps. He was on Liverpool's books for 3 or 4 years. Yeah. Could never get him a work permit.
Yeah.
He went to Germany the start of this season, and he's smashing it there.
Yeah,
give him credit.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm gonna need. I think Nigeria. They should try and work on convincing some of the fringe English players to commit to Nigeria. So someone like Eze would be sick.
Mm. Saka, and also, fringe on.
man's played in the Euro final, yeah? He's not fringe, isn't he? And what was the other one? Tomori as well. Tomori's barely getting it looking.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
And also, I just wanted to talk about Ivory Coast. You know when Ivory Coast game, was it yesterday or the day before?
The
2-2 game, yeah. Someone noticed that last goal, well, no, the Haller goal was an assist by Zaha. And Haller, he escaped from Corker. Both of those played for England in a friendly against Sweden. Zaha and Corker.
Oh, yeah,
I saw it. Hey, man like Corker, you know.
Did you see that goal, though, that Haller goal?
No, I didn't see. I saw the Pepe one.
So the goalkeeper, I don't know what he was trying to do, yeah. He was trying to anticipate where the shot would go. He moves completely out of the way and Haller shot into an empty net. But then the equaliser, the Serie A in the last minute. The goalkeeper,
he got injured though.
The goalkeeper looked up and he's like, he's gonna cry.
No, but he did get injured, like, because he slid out and his knee caught like a dip in the grass or something.
Shout out to Sierra Leone though. Their goalkeeper was sick in the first game. I think it was against Algeria.
Six saves.
Couple of big names, Algeria and Ghana, both playing dead.
Like Algeria, the bottom of their group.
You know, Algeria came into this tournament
as favourites.
I think they were 35 games unbeaten leading up into this tournament. The record, I don't know if this is for an African team or if this is just the record for an international team. I was reading, so someone will have to fact check this after, was 37 games. Mm. So they were very close to breaking that record.
I think it was Africa because Italy had been unbeaten for like 42 games.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Algeria, they won the last tournament. And they won in, I don't know what this tournament is called, the FIFA Arab World Cup. And they just won that recently. So they looked like the strongest, I mean, in terms of like, I also thought Cameroon were in there as well, and Senegal, those were the
but
favorites.
But from the thing that Sky was saying, based on form, that Morocco and Nigeria are actually most likely to win AFCON this year.
That's interesting. Yeah. My pre-tournament kind of guess almost was Senegal.
Yeah.
They've got a really good team, actually. And
they've got the best goalkeeper in the world.
And they've got, well, debatable, but they've got top five keeper in the world.
But, you know, just based on...
Oh, the awards, yeah.
That's true. funnily enough, did you know that... I know this is such a mad tangent and not looking to take the discussion there, but did you know that Lionel Messi... I don't know why or what this is about, but he didn't vote for Lewandowski as his one, two, or three.
He voted Neymar, Mbappe, and what? I don't remember his third.
Well, of course he's going to vote for Neymar and Mbappe. They're his teammates.
If you can't take something...
Who did your goat vote for? He voted for himself, Bruno Fernandes, and I don't know.
just want to clarify that they cannot vote for themselves.
I don't know what I'd use to describe that. But
did you see what Lewandowski
interesting.
Said?
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, I've never really done anything to him, so it's purely based on football reasons, and I respect what he's.
No, they always do. Everyone votes for their friend.
No.
A lot of them. Go on, whip out all the captains who made votes and tell me out of those which ones voted for their friends.
A lot of them do.
You can't use a singular example.
Alright, tell me.
I was surprised that a lot of, I know we're well off AFCON, but we'll come back to it, but a lot of people voted Jorginho number one. Like, well, not a lot of people, but a lot of the people in the first 11.
See, this is why players are the worst type of pundits. Why on earth would you vote for Jorginho? What did he do? Like, he wasn't even the best player in his team.
Both teams.
Well, exactly. Italy. He wasn't the best player for Italy. He wasn't the best player for Donnarumma was the best player for Italy. And Kante was the best player for Chelsea. So, and he wasn't even in the conversation
you know
for player
funny?
Of the year for.
Mendy won best goalkeeper but couldn't get into the FIFA the 11.
Listen, when I see a man like Alaba in there, and not to dispute his quality, but come on.
I know we're going to get onto AFCON in a second, but did you see the FIFA Pro 11?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Kevin De Bruyne gets in, honestly, on clearing. That's it. Well, he gets in on reputation alone.
Did you see the front four?
Yeah.
Mbappe didn't make it in.
Why on earth is Ronaldo?
Wait, who actually made it then?
So this is the team here. The goalkeeper was Donnarumma. I think I remember it. It was a back three, innit?
Yeah, back three.
Bonucci,
Diaz, Alaba.
Ruben Diaz and Alaba. And then midfield was Kante, De Bruyne and Jorginho.
Yep.
And then up front, it was Haaland, Lewandowski, Ronaldo for crying out loud. And Messi. Yeah. Ronaldo should not be in there.
Mbappe,
I'm sorry.
70,
what did he do?
70 goals and assists last.
No, it was a joke.
Wow,
and
that's crazy.
Obviously, Mbappe. The biggest missing player.
Where the hell was Salah? Or Benzema?
Or Benzema. Yeah. Benzema and Salah definitely have to be in there.
Yeah.
And you're talking about with Salah came third in the actual vote and Benzema came fourth.
Yeah.
And these two players aren't actually in the team.
Ronaldo shouldn't have been there and I don't think... Haaland's good, but I don't think he should have been in there either. It should have been Benzema and Salah if you're going to do a front four. Mm-hmm. So, and anyway, get back to the AFCON. Yeah. all right. So what has been my annoyance here about the coverage of it is that they want to portray this whole tournament as, oh, look at the circus going on over there. Where, bruv... Obviously, that stuff with
the ref.
Mali and Tunisia, was it?
Yeah.
And that referee, he absolutely lost his mind. Like, he stopped the game twice.
Now, he definitely had a bet.
No, they said he had heat stroke. Bruv, what? Well, how come no one else was affected by the heat stroke?
I know. Where were your assistants then to say,
and,
big man,
I know you got heat. But he had enough, to like, don't touch me to the ref. Yeah.
There was 5 minutes left.
Yeah, nonsense. And then, also he's had like, apparently he has like a track record of some dodgy stuff.
You know, that's
it.
The first game in football history that's ended three times.
No, it's so absolutely nonsense, isn't it? And but let's not forget, there's been referees been doing mad stuff all that. Bruv, you told us about something in Brazil that happened where there was a gun involved, And then also, was it Graham Paul gave three yellows? the referee in France got tripped up, kicked someone and sent him off.
You've got an infamous Gibbs and
Oxlade-Chamberlain. Yeah.
This isn't specific
Manchester, to... I don't know which light-skinned one it is, whatever
it is. This isn't specific to
AFCON. Africa, innit? No, but that was obviously wild. And then there was the other thing as well. Who was it? Someone punched... It was Tete, who plays for Ghana. He punched the guy and then... He ran into the dressing room and then the referee couldn't find him. Told Thomas Partey, get him out.
That,
it took
that.
So long, the referee just pointed it in the air. He said, here's the red card to whoever.
Do you know what? I laughed as well. I probably shouldn't laugh, but there was a player injured and they brought the stretcher out. And then the medics realised that they couldn't carry. So they called for the little cart. And
when the little cart came, that.
bumped into the guy.
That was a joke.
So yeah, there are those things. But to be fair, like they're not reporting on... The good bits of play, the good stuff. Like
Nigeria, like we were talking about, they cooked Egypt, man.
Absolutely. Bossed Egypt. They're playing some great football the other day. Who they win 2-0 against, I can't remember. Honestly, sometimes, like, there's a lot of, like, teams that aren't bigger names. So, in this tournament specifically. So, like, I'd never personally heard of Comoros as a country at all.
Same.
I didn't know there was three Guineas. And obviously a lot of smaller teams like Cape Verde and Gabon and Ethiopia are qualified this time around as well. So it's good in terms of learning more about players, and you know, scouts around Europe will start looking at this tournament a lot. Because
and that Cameroonian striker as well, I didn't know about Abubakar, him, and he's...
Sorry, I don't believe he's 21.
Yeah, no, I saw that.
I don't believe he's 21. 21, you know, and that's a lie because I'm pretty sure he used to play for Porto and I've heard about him for the last 5 years. So he hasn't been playing since he was 16. Isn't it? So, sorry, someone has to look at his passport and, or they're just lying about it, like bull face lying. I think if you look at Wikipedia, it'll probably tell you a different age.
Allegedly, yeah.
But yeah, Cameroon have been good. I'm enjoying some of the Cameroon players, like, what's his name? The one who plays for Napoli, who played for Fulham last year, Anguissa. Mm. I like him. He's a good player. And then, obviously, Choupo-Moting still there as well. But yeah, I'm enjoying the tournament now over the last couple of weeks, the last couple of games. But last week, from there, it was really boring. Like, it was a lot of 1-0 games, boring games.
Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's a crime to say the tournament started off pretty bland. But as with any major tournament, that quite often can happen. I remember, what was it, the opening game of the South Africa World Cup? This is years back we're talking.
South Africa, Mexico,
I think he finished 1-0 late South Africa goal. I could be very wrong. And it was one of the most boring opening games. This happens
that tournament
in,
was quite boring.
It was, exactly. But with this one here, we're slowly starting to see it kind of heat up as teams start to realise, right, we've got to finish top two. I think there are four third place finishers go through as well to make a last 16.
Wasn't that the same in the Euros, isn't it?
It might have been, yeah. And as with any tournament competition, get to the knockout stages, it gets super exciting. Man. I can't wait for that.
Definitely. But honestly, one thing I just wanted to like clarify, like whilst I agree, is like I saw a lot of people saying it's boring, and then kind of you can see that they haven't watched the games. Mm-hmm. Like for example, they would say, "Oh, it's boring. The quality of football is dead." But that's not necessarily the case.
You're just looking at the scoreline.
Yeah, exactly.
And not even that. People judge. People are experts off a 20-second clip now.
Yeah.
And they'll use that 20-second clip and just say, you know what?
Sometimes first games of the tournament, you don't want to go gung-ho. You want to get at least a point and see where you go from
because
there.
If you lose the first game, like you're already in a position game is important.
We were just talking about Algeria. They're desperate now to win their next game, their last game.
Yeah. Ghana are on the verge of going out as well. Yeah, so,
but we're celebrating that.
Yeah, interesting. And a lot of the big
Partey coming back to Arsenal.
Yeah, I know you're kind of buzzing. A lot of the big boys getting off the mark though. Obviously Salah in their second game, really good finish.
What a volley, man.
You had Iheanacho in the opening game against Egypt.
Good goal, great goal.
Great goal. You got, as you said, a lot of players kind of who we might not have been necessarily too well aware of
Moses
beforehand,
Simon.
Who are shining the light on how good the quality of African football is. It's really good to see, actually. And I think you're right about the scouts from all over Europe, all over the world will be watching this very
everyone,
closely.
Everyone wants to find a Sadio Mane.
Well, Sam, 100%. Eto was saying it before the tournament that he feels that in terms of footballing ability, you will find the most talent in Africa. Yeah. But what they don't have is a system to nurture that talent from a young age.
And that's why physical talent as well, that's where you'll get.
So hopefully with him at the helm, because I know he's the president of, I'm not sure what the official name is, but
CAF,
might be CAF. So he's the president now. So he's got kind of an overarching view on and look at how it all works in terms of that system in Africa. So hopefully he can start to drive that forward now where what he's saying in terms of young players, the talent pool in Africa is astounding.
Yeah.
now it would be really nice to see that talent progress and actually be clear pathways.
Yeah.
It's coming into Europe as well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's crazy that people like look at AFCON in certain ways when those players are stars at so many of our clubs.
2019 season, yeah. The top three goal scorers who all won the gold boot were all African. Yep. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So, yeah. So, more respect on AFCON. And like you guys said, I can't wait for the knockout.
All right. So, let's all make a prediction.
I'm going to stick with Senegal.
Senegal? I'm actually, based on their performances, I'm going towards Nigeria.
Yeah, so I'm going to go Nigeria.
Yeah. I think Nigeria is a fair shout. It's just, you know what? If you were from Nigeria or just followed it closely and you want Nigeria to win, it's actually... A, is impressive that they're playing the way they are, missing some of their bigger players.
Mm-hmm.
But B, just imagine that the type of football they'd be able to play with your
Dennis
Osimhen, who came on for Napoli for the last 20 minutes yesterday, or so yesterday. Yeah. So he's kind of back into fitness now. So it's a shame it's a couple of weeks too late.
Just quickly on Dennis, yeah. I was a couple of weeks ago where we didn't have a podcast. I was ready to go in on Watford because...
yeah, they took the piss.
We forgot about that.
With the whole Dennis thing, like, but then, and when he played against Tottenham, he got subbed at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he was injured or not, but I was pissed because, like, I was thinking, this is like going to the Euros, going to the World Cup, it's the same, isn't it? Just because it's in Africa, doesn't it? But I watched a quick interview that said, they said to Dennis, oh, with the AFCON coming up, this is Watford interview, are you interested and are you looking forward to that? Something's got in mind? He goes, no, I don't really. No, not really. So it's him. He said I thought it was just a Watford thing. They'll threaten him, saying, "Oh, we've got relegation, blah 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 blah, all that." But it was actually partly him. So it's his decision as well. So I don't know what that means. I don't know. And also, like, there was another thing as well. Like Salisu, you know Salisu, the centre back for Ghana. But Southampton centre back as well. And I was just thinking, why is he not going? Like, he's a Premier League centre back. He plays for Ghana. I would have. Pretty sure he would have gone because I can't name another Ghanaian centre back. So, and then I looked at it and he said, oh, I'm just going to focus on Southampton right now. I don't think I'm in a position to be.
Wow.
I was just like, rah, man.
It's sad that, like, even
that
like, their own players are, like, looking at AFCON in a.
As in, yeah, a burden.
Yeah.
Right. I get it. I partly get it. It's mid season and you are missing games, but at the end of the day, like, this is your country.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like, any player who's ever played for England has always said, like, it's been their proudest moment
in it. Yeah.
So it should be for anyone representing their country in any sport, their proudest moment.
If you play for Liverpool, yeah, you're a star striker. Mark, the star striker for Liverpool. You play with Salah and Mane, yeah? And they held a... for Ireland. Ireland called you up in a January tournament. The Guinness tournament.
The Guinness tournament. Oh, my God.
And they said, God, Mark,
do you want to get called up? Would you take it up? Obviously, not specifically the Guinness tournament, but I mean, Ireland called you up for a tournament.
I can't take that serious. After everything you might have just said, there's no way I can say no. But it's not because of what you have just said. Listen, at the end of the day, if you get called up to represent your country, it's more than just putting that shirt on. You're representing millions of people.
Yeah,
And that should be at the forefront of your mind. And if it's not, then for me, people like Salisu and... Obviously, Dennis. Get to the bottom of the Dennis one because I do think he started to slowly change his mind from what I've been reading, and then Watford outright blocked it. But in the case of those two, honestly, I'd be inclined to say you're not playing for the country then at all moving forward, because if you're not willing to give us a month of your time, and I know it's in an important part of the season to represent millions of people.
Yeah.
Like, the only place you have to look at is Salah and Mane, who are like, you can't discount Liverpool from a title challenge, Champions League. They've gone and they've represented their countries in probably one of the most important parts of the season for Liverpool. And I respect it. Like,
if Salah didn't go, I think there'd be death threats coming in from Cairo to Liverpool in the millions.
No, but I just think it's important. Like, I think Salah is an example on and off the pitch for a lot of reasons, but this is another one. Like, he's so professional at Liverpool and he's so professional for his country, and he just does everything in what I feel is the right way.
Did you see Mahrez coming off the bus?
Yeah.
That was really nice.
Put
man.
A big smile on my face.
That was really nice. Now let's talk about the other side. We talked about Salisu and Dennis. What about a few players who went to the Africa Cup of Nations who perhaps haven't treated it very nicely though they've been there, Aubameyang and
Lamina. My dear.
God, yeah.
Specifically Aubameyang, who is captain.
I don't care about Lamina, so I'll talk about Aubameyang.
Yeah.
First and foremost, yeah, you're the captain of Gabon. You're their star player, yeah. Regardless of
how badly they reach tournaments as it is.
He was. I will say, obviously, you know, catching COVID, it can happen, but there's like footballers. They're literally they're on extra. There's an extra scrutiny on them. That's why, like, throughout the week, the footballers aren't going parties and all that stuff as well. And if you get COVID
unless
on that,
Phil Foden and Grealish.
Well, exactly. Yeah. But the thing is, you still get like it's you're the clubs are they'll be really upset if you go out and get COVID from being out in big crowds and everything like that. That's why players a lot of the time they're just staying at home, innit? Especially now you're playing and you don't want to have to like make your team lose a player. So him to go out 4 days before the beginning of the tournament is to me is unacceptable. You know, you're the captain, you're their best player, you're their star man. Obviously, you haven't been having a good time at Arsenal. This is an opportunity for you to get out of there. And now Gabon, like especially now what's happened as well, he caught COVID, he missed the first game, he couldn't be part of the second game, and now he's going to go home.
He's already here.
Well, he's home. Well, yeah, exactly. He's gone now. He's not part of Gabon's team anymore because of the, obviously, he's had the complications with his heart. Yeah. Well, obviously, we hope he gets better.
Yeah, I saw that. Is that serious?
Yeah, but the thing is, it's called myocarditis or something like that. I think it's one of the effects of having COVID. So,
I see.
So, that is obviously is an unfortunate situation. We hope he's fine and all that. But we don't know about the rumours, so let's not address the other rumours as well. But because of what you did prior to the tournament, your country, that where you're the star man, they can't use you at all. And now they're probably... I don't know what their results are.
They won the first game, and then he was supposed to play in the second game, but I didn't see...
Exactly. But obviously, then that dents any hopes they have.
Yeah.
And also Lamina, who's the second best player as well.
Yeah. Mm. So now both have been sent home.
But I think it goes beyond just the, you know, Gabon maybe not progressing as far in this tournament as they would have done with the two players. I just think it sends a message to the country of Gabon that actually my personal life, me having fun, you've got to forget he was in a whole different country. My man was in Dubai.
Yeah,
well, I say my man, both of them were in Dubai 4 days before the tournament started.
Damn.
Kind of, no one knows what exactly went on, but essentially they're kind of having it large. And you're the captain of your country and you're the captain of your club. You're 30 plus years old. And to not have that kind of sense of responsibility to me just screams, I don't even know what it's, to me,
it's irresponsible.
To me, it screams the question in my head, how did he get both captaincies, if there's no sense of leadership responsibility whatsoever coming out from him.
But has this always been a thing with Aubameyang? Like when he was at Dortmund, has he had attitude problems?
I don't think it's an attitude.
Everyone
problem,
always talks about Aubameyang's
or
like
commitment issues.
He's always
I don't know about his relationship.
He's always been described as like happy, smiley, good, positive vibe around the dressing room.
Players want that way. I like Aubameyang.
The problem is you can't turn up late to training. You can't like turn up late on the day of the game. I was told that, for example, like at the end of a game, let's say last Thursday at Anfield, Arsenal players will go to a hotel room. Some players just go. They just leave. Go home.
Why are they all going to a hotel room? Sounds seedy to me.
No, it's like they all stay together, basically. Like if they can't go home on the day, they stay together. And then one or two leave. Yeah. And Aubameyang is always one of those who, instead of staying with the group and stuff like that, he just leaves.
I can't lie. Do you hang around after work for banks?
But
or do you go straight home?
It's a bit different.
If you have the, like some players do the warm down, you're in the changing room, you probably leave in the stadium late, and Liverpool is a whole different city. Like if it was London, fair enough, go home. But like the team is all staying in one place so that they can leave early in the morning and then you're just ditching your team. So it's a bit like, you know, there's always these, and you know, I'm one of those where it's like if there's smoke, there's fire. Like, so it can't just all be like rumours and you know, it's just all building up.
Yeah, 100%. Well, he's been disciplined twice this season already by Arteta.
This season. I said
club captain earlier, but actually he's officially been stripped, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's hopefully a lesson learned. Obviously not, because week later, he was in Dubai having it.
And you got COVID two times in 6 months. It's crazy,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
Obviously, you can't. You know, getting COVID isn't something you plan to do, but yeah, still, but, like, you got to be careful.
Of course, like, I wake up like, you know what, I'm going to go and catch COVID.
But there are ways to do it. Like, for example, we've all done our best to
avoid it. Yeah,
avoid it. But if you're going to parties in Dubai four days before a major tournament,
Regardless, though, I'm so against strikers, and I hold the same energy for Harry Kane in the England team. Same at Spurs, but I'm obviously not a Spurs fan. But for me, strikers shouldn't be your team and club captain. I've always thought it should be a centre back or a centre mid. You get a better view of the game. But outside of that, I'm not with it for a striker being.
I feel the same with goalkeepers as well.
Goalkeepers, I can kind of get it. I don't know why I just said Kane was Spurs club captain because it's Lloris.
He's England captain.
Yeah.
If
you're a forward and you're a captain, you're more likely to be the type of captain that's a leader by example rather than
the goals.
Henderson who shouts and does nothing.
Although, would you not?
You're away from that.
At least my captain can lift a trophy properly.
Yeah, true, yeah, true.
Would you not think Shearer was a good captain?
They finished 16th every season.
No, but what you're doing is picking out one
anomaly.
No, I know. I'm just asking.
I'd say definitely he was.
It's his preference, though.
I just
tell him, shut up, bro.
Let's move on. Let's talk about some Prem.
Okay, football. So our spotlight game was Manchester City versus Chelsea at the Etihad. Big title game.
How did you feel about this, Tanya? Did you respect them more?
Oh, here we go.
Tanya had her sitting top on.
Yeah, you were celebrating, didn't it? Blue moon.
Come on, respect Pep.
I'm not going to feel sad that Chelsea lost.
No.
I didn't take some enjoyment in watching Chelsea
get
packed up.
Do you really want Chelsea to win? No. I'm surprised it was a spotlight game. I find Chelsea so boring.
I did.
Like, any game Chelsea's in is so boring.
You see that? I can't really dispute you. Again, speaking about anomalies, there is the odd anomaly. Tongue twister.
Anomaly.
There is the odd. Anomaly. Who was it?
Just stop and we'll say the word for you.
Go on.
Anomaly.
There is the odd.
Anomaly.
Thank you. With Chelsea. But you're right, Tans. But on this game, for me, obviously, as a fan of a team who, whether there is or isn't a title race at the moment, who's kind of within that mix, mm-hmm. Chelsea win was the best result by far. City are now 12 games in a row in the league winning.
13.
Which is crazy. And at this rate, there's just no catching them. So I think you put a question on the agenda, Abdi. Title gone?
Title
question
over.
Mark?
Yeah.
Title's gone.
But
I'm
in favor of like something Mark said in the group chat when Abdi, I think you asked Mark before the game, who do you want to win? And you said something that made me think Mark doesn't like Chelsea. We all know, like, he's not a big fan of them, but he said, I want Chelsea to win so this doesn't become like a Bundesliga.
Yeah,
like,
said that, yeah.
So I just think, when you said that, I was like, I really don't want City to win.
This is why we were going at Tanya last week. And she said, I respect them. All that nonsense. Who wants them to be flipping Bayern Munich blue?
You up until about a year ago when your mentality on City slightly shifted. Let's be honest, you haven't always thought this way about City.
No, I definitely haven't.
Let's make this clear just very quickly now that first of all, I do think the title's over, but I haven't given up hope. I want to make that very clear. We win our game in hand, we're 8 points off of City. We've still got to play them. City has still got to play some tough teams. It's not completely over, but they will drop points, but so will
Liverpool.
So whilst I'm saying it's over, I definitely haven't given up hope. But yeah, this will be their fifth Prem in six seasons. There's nothing to say they won't go and make it 6 and 7 next year, 7 and 8 the year after. This is a machine that's really difficult to stop.
And they won the league at Kanta last year and bought another player for 100 million.
Exactly. I was about to say, and then they'll go and do the same.
What just happened?
He muted himself.
Did I just mute myself mid-sentence? Chances are they'll bring in Haaland, and that's the thing with City. They strengthen at their strongest point, and that's why they're unstoppable.
Let's talk about, obviously, we're past halfway of the season. What's going on with Grealish, man?
Things.
He wasn't needed.
Yeah, he wasn't needed. I think, I can't remember which pundit kind of wrote this, and I did half agree with it, but City probably wasn't the club for Grealish because he, as we saw at Villa, kind of thrives when he's the one and he steps onto that pitch and he knows, right, when he was at Villa, it was almost, and it wasn't exactly like this, but it was almost, I'm going to have to go out there and win Villa the game today.
Yeah, the game will go for him. I saw a tweet that I so agreed with. Someone said, Man City should have got Sancho and Grealish should have got Man United because Sancho,
Grealish
everyone
should have got Man United.
Should have gone Man United, yeah, yeah. Well, to be fair, he probably would have been the leader of the club considering what they give the keys to Bruno of all people. But Grealish, he's more of a maverick. He's more of a someone who gets likes the freedom of giving him the ball and let him do what he has to do. Whereas Sancho, everyone, when they saw him in the Bundesliga, because it's the Bundesliga, they all thought, oh, he's another Zaha, same Maximan. You know, one-on-one guy. No, he's not at all. He's a guy, he can create in like combinations, and he can play off the left, he can play off the right, he can even play behind the striker. He likes playing, you know, 1-2s with players and creating that way. He's more of a creative player rather than a 1v1 guy. So he should be in Man City because they all play in close proximity. He'll be getting hella assists for people like Sterling and all that if he played for Man City. Whereas Grealish, he's a maverick. We see the freedom Bruno gets, yeah? Rather, Grealish would... I'm watching Bruno at the weekend play like a terrorist.
No, I'm completely with you on Bruno now, you know. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, so, but I think it's 100 million and he's a good player, and who's to say he won't be better next season? Like, we saw Gundogan, he had the adaption period. We saw Mahrez had the adaption period. But it's 100 million. You have to start performing day
100%.
One.
100%. You know? Yeah, so, there's no way on earth I'm writing off Jack Grealish. The guy is too good.
Yeah.
But,
oh yeah,
and we'll see the best of him in the next couple of years. But I think you're right about maybe City not being the right club for him.
Yeah,
is it a case of City trying to like let's grab Grealish so no one else does?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think they could help themselves.
That's exactly where it was.
They couldn't help themselves. They were just like, yeah, let's just you know, he would have improved another team if he went there, innit? So hopefully. Yeah.
The weird thing is, I don't know, they play on separate flanks, but Mahrez seems to be the one now. Obviously, when he's not at AFCON, who Pep kind of drafts up his team sheet. And when you look at their attackers, they usually play four of them.
Yeah.
At this point in time, he's the first name on the team sheet in terms of the attack for City, 100%. And it's interesting that Grealish came in and actually Mahrez has enhanced his reputation almost. And it's just interesting to me that...
If it was me, yeah, that front four would always be... Because they're not playing with a striker. So I play Sterling as the false nine. I play Mahrez on the right. I play Foden on the left. And then that's the three I would play. And then I'd play a midfield three. Because I know we're going to get onto him. He's got an amazing goal. De Bruyne, last year when they were on this amazing run and they were killing teams and, you know, went Liverpool, bopped them off the pitch. De Bruyne wasn't about. You know, De Bruyne was... That's why I'm so amazed that he got into this FIFA Pro Team of the Year, because... He wasn't playing a lot last season. When they brought him in, that's when sort of like the balance shifted a bit. Because their best player last year was Gundogan by a mile. Rodri as the single pivot with Gundogan and Bernardo ahead, and then the front three that I just named. That, to me, that's the most balance you get. But the reason Kevin, sorry, just a second. The reason Kevin De Bruyne always plays, it's because that right foot is a wand, man. Like, he can literally, it's what they call it, a tin opener.
Because I was about to say, he scored four goals in three games.
Who have you heard call it a
you
tin
never
opener?
Heard it? Oh, mate, you're not real English, are you?
Wait, hold on. Who? No, I need evidence.
I've also never heard that.
You never heard it?
No, I'm not saying I've not heard the phrase, but where have you heard someone describe that as KDB's right foot?
Oh, mate, I've heard it. I've heard it playing in the ground. Well, not just him, just saying anyone who can whip the ball in and get the ball in. So I imagine Trent would be a tin opener as well.
It's perfect that you mentioned this, because I wanted to kind of make the listeners aware of what you said in the chat. Not because I think you're right or wrong, but because I think we should put this out as some sort of poll and see what people think. But you've essentially just alluded to it yourself. You know, you pick six City players you'd have in that kind of midfield three and the top three. KDB wasn't included.
Yeah.
You said in the chat this week, I think it was after the Chelsea game, actually, the Chelsea City game, that if you were picking the best City 11, KDB wouldn't be in it.
Yeah.
Do you stand by that?
Individual quality, obviously, he'd have to be up there, not just in Man City, the Premier League, and he's one of the better players. But I think just for the balance of Man City, Rodri, obviously, undroppable. Bernardo, 100%. Completely undroppable. Last year, we saw the best of Gundogan in terms of getting into the box as an all-round. All-round, he was like their top scorer last year. So I think he was staying because of balance. I think when they brought De Bruyne and Sterling back in last year, especially in the Champions League final, they played Gundogan as a single pivot and Rodri was on the bench. I think obviously that didn't work for them. So Gundogan will be in. I would definitely put Bernardo in. And Sterling, he's got one thing that none of them do, is the off-the-ball movement. And you know, and especially like we saw earlier on in the season against Liverpool, where they didn't have they didn't have any focal point up front. Brought on Sterling, he occupied the centre backs. Then they got back into the game as well.
But I think Sterling played really well on Saturday.
Yeah. I just don't like Sterling on the left and on the right. I'm a big Mahrez fan. Mahrez is my guy in it, so I want Mahrez in the team. And then Foden, you can't drop him as well. So Foden's undroppable. Bernardo's undroppable. Rodri's undroppable, and Sterling provides something that no one else does. Mahrez is a big baller, so I don't have time for these guys who want to play like the white Trent Alexander-Arnold.
KDB has 4 goals in the last 3 games.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, that's what I said, his right foot is a one. That's why he's for Pep, he's undeniable for that most part of that game. People watch that game, just see the goal and think, oh, De Bruyne, he's one of the best players in the world, blah blah blah, all that. But he was disgusting. He was like horrible for most of the game, isn't
it? He was about to go ham then.
He was disgusting.
Say it with chess, man.
I don't think he
was disgusting. Horrible, man. Yeah,
I'll save disgusting for another player who played later on the day.
Fair enough. And let me just ask you guys a quick question about Chelsea, and then I guess we'll probably move on to the next game. But it's an interesting one, right? Because if we win our game in hand, so Chelsea have played 22 games, City have played 22, West Ham have played 22. This is the current top four. We played 21. So if we win our game in hand, we'll be 5 points above Chelsea. And if you win your 2 games in hand, you're 2 points behind Chelsea. So my question to you guys is, do you see Chelsea getting kind of sucked away from that top 3 battle and into a kind of top 4 battle, or have they just got too much quality for that?
Oh, because I thought you were going to answer.
Oh, Tans can answer if you want.
Tanya, do you want to go first?
No, because I don't know if you're including Spurs as well. Obviously, we're games in hand FC at the minute. Mm. We've got like 4 games in hand, but I think even if we win our games, we go above Chelsea. So, to be honest,
you know what? You're right, Tanya. If you win your game, wow. If you obviously. This is, we've kind of covered this before. You'd rather have points on the board than games in hand. But if you win your 4 games in hand, you're actually 2 points above Chelsea, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you've got to go and win those 4 games. But again, it just adds to the magnitude of my point on Chelsea are kind of in a bit of a sticky situation where if they don't go and win their next 3 or 4 games on the trot in the league.
Who are those games?
We can check that for you in a second. But if they don't
got Brighton away in one of those games,
they got Brighton away tonight. Actually, if they don't win that kind of their next 3 or 4 games in the league, there's a real chance. And again, I'm not saying this quality wise because quality wise they're up there with the Liverpools and the Cities, but points wise they'll be in that kind of top 4 race with a lot of other teams if they don't kind of kick on from here and start to. Win.
I think we massively, I mean, I can only speak for myself, overestimated the quality of their squad though. Because I especially think their attacking players haven't been good enough.
Yeah.
Havertz, I'm sorry, what's he done? Yeah, he scored the Champions League final. Whippy!
It's pretty big.
Apart from that, I see him as a
dead player. Ziyech and Pulisic. Ziyech and Pulisic, goodness gracious.
They're dead, I'm sorry. They're overrated.
No.
They need to sort their attack out.
Honestly, like, Pulisic should be in jail. How could you be that much of a fraud? Like, it is like every time he got the ball at a weekend, it was just like rah. Like they're gonna get the ball back straight away.
Can I just say, Chelsea play Brighton, then they play Spurs, then they play Palace away,
3 points.
Then they play Leicester.
That is very interesting, and they've got a postponed game against Arsenal to come up at some point as well.
Who? Chelsea.
Chelsea.
Postponed.
Yeah, so this tells me anyway, match postponed, Chelsea-Arsenal. It might have been a postponed one from a few weeks back that still needs to be rescheduled.
No. We had one match postponed and I was against Tottenham.
Yeah. No. Oh, really?
Yeah, we have a Wolves.
Someone needs to chat to Big BBC Sport then, because it does say match postponed.
Do you think it's because of a cup, like a cup game?
Oh, Chelsea are at the Club World Cup. All right, so that game's not postponed, actually, but that game would have been scheduled for when they're away. That all makes sense.
Oh, they got to go Club World Cup as well, isn't it?
Yeah, so they're going to miss a couple of games.
Yeah, I think you're right, Mark. I think if they're not careful, they could be dragged into that top four battle. Well, then it'll be the top three and four battle with the rest of the chasing
also,
pack.
Also, I know, are we writing off Man United completely as well?
Wait, we haven't got there yet. Hold on.
Yeah, wait a little bit, we'll write them off then.
All right.
But yeah, so rest in peace, Chelsea.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't think about that, Mark. That's a... Yeah, I'm
Nah, but to answer your question, no, because... Like we don't want to be games in hand FC, innit? We've still got two games in hand. But I mean, Chelsea, they could do, but I think they got two.
No, but I'm not even talking about our games in hand. I just looked at their games and their form, and now I'm thinking.
But all of those games, bar probably Liverpool, they don't have to play Liverpool anymore, do they? So Leicester, you said Palace, Brighton. They're better than all those teams.
Yeah, they might be better than all those teams, but Brighton away is a tough fixture.
You don't win games of football by handing in your team sheet. You have to play the game.
You're right.
And that's the beauty of the Premier League.
You're right, but you don't win games on saying we've got two games in hand. You know.
Okay, but no one's saying that. We're talking about their run versus their form.
Mate, you don't have to convince me, bruv. I'm fully on board.
So why are we here convincing you, big man?
No. Listen,
yeah, exactly. Why
if you told me 0 out of 12 out of all of those and. Hammy's left, right, and centre being pink. I'm for it, bro. Sign me up right now.
No, fair enough. But you also got to remember that when they're at the Club World Cup, there's a chance that, you know, teams around them win games.
Yep.
And by the time they're back from the Club World Cup, they find themselves in fifth, maybe.
Yeah.
And the pressure's on them to win their games in hand.
And Burnley will finish the season on 15 games.
15 games?
Yeah. Burnley have got
you
like
think
10 games in hand,
bro. Do you think there'll be pressure on Tuchel then, if that happens?
No pressure.
He's
got
credit in the bank.
He's coming.
Listen, it's Chelsea. Chelsea, remember.
You're right. It is Chelsea, but he's coming. He's gone to the Champions League final, won it. He's taken them to the FA Cup final, lost it. Taken them to the League Cup final to be confirmed. I don't think there's any pressure on him.
They are in the League Cup final, that's confirmed.
I mean opposition to be confirmed.
Win or loss.
But what I do think he'll come under a bit of pressure if they're not challenging for the league next season. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, Roman Abramovich, he wants to win that.
Spent 100 million on a striker.
No, I don't know. If they finish fifth, like let's say, grand scheme of things, I think if he finishes fifth.
Yeah. Roman will send a Russian gangster to his house.
All right, let's
pack your bags.
Oh my God.
All right, let's move on. Brighton versus Palace, the derby that Abdi doesn't claim.
No, you're right.
Yeah,
right. Sky Sports made a massive thing about.
I'm only joking.
One nonsense derby, bruv. What? They go fight at Gatwick.
Now listen, it's a derby to those fans because of stuff that's happened in their past with an ex manager and blah blah blah. But Brighton Palace, they hate each other, basically.
I was worried for the players, bruv, because you see when there was like a pitch invasion after who got a pen or something or scored a goal.
Huh?
Did anyone not see it? Did you not see the players running on the pitch? The fans running on the pitch?
No.
What, Brighton?
After so in what order did it go? So it was they scored a goal. It was disallowed with VAR. And then there was a penalty. No, the penalty miss was first.
The penalty miss was first.
Yeah. And it was all like within a 5 minute period. I think there was a small like few fans ran onto the pitch.
But can I just say, by the way, that I've given Palace and Patrick Vieira a bit of praise this season for the really quick transition from Hodgson ball to just a general style of football that's easy
digestible,
to watch, digestible, good on the eye. But I've got to say, after watching this Brighton Palace game, in terms of the football played on the pitch, now outside of individual player quality, etc., just in terms of the football that I'm seeing on the pitch, Brighton are miles ahead of them.
Brighton are miles ahead of them. They don't even have the best player, innit?
Brighton are really impressing me every time I watch them. because they play football and they play it in the right way. And yeah. and last season it was them up against XG. This season they're putting the ball in the back of the net a little bit more.
A little bit more, yeah.
But it's still XG.
In this game, yeah, Graham Potter probably aged about a couple of years. There's no way that they keep scoring late goals just to salvage points. They've got to like, you've got to actually put the ball in net in sometime before 90 plus one.
Also, they got a penalty in that game. It's like,
that was a terrible penalty, man. Gross, yeah, Pascal terrible. Gross. That was a gross penalty. Yeah,
I waited all week to say that.
Thank you.
What about the return of Jack Butland?
Yeah, decent game.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, decent game.
Larson did him dirty, though.
This guy was in the...
Is it Anderson?
Sorry. Anderson, yeah. I said Larson. Yeah. No, that's Kevin De Bruyne. No, he's Larson. Jack Butland, yeah. He was throwing the ball in his net for Stoke in the Championship, bruv. How did he scam a move to Crystal Palace?
He's been there for about 2 years, just chilling.
Guaita is a better goalkeeper.
We were linked with him last summer. Thank God we didn't get him.
Joe Hart and Jack Butland. Oh, my God. England reserve reunion, yeah? I thought, in terms of Conor Gallagher getting another goal, he did nothing. He did absolutely nothing in the game, but he's coming up with the good thing for them.
None of those Palace players did.
Yeah.
I was about to say, Palace were under a lot of pressure. Brighton were cooking them, and then they got like a sucker punch goal.
Actually, to be fair though, the finish was great, and the fact that he keeps popping up in the right spaces and half spaces to finish off these chances. I think he's on 7 or 8 in the league now, which is impressive in its own right. But the football that Brighton played, actually, just in the lead up to that goal,
Palace,
just in the lead up to that goal, you know, it started from Butland. They worked their way all the way up the pitch, and it was a really nice bit of football, actually.
He loves himself some average Crystal Palace players, you know. Benteke, Butland.
I mean, never said Butland is the best goalkeeper.
My guy Butland's back, you know.
I never said that.
Off air, you were calling for him to be England's number one.
Yeah, you did say that. Yeah.
So, listeners,
you were like, get Benteke to change his nationality.
No, listeners,
Brazil's number one.
Listeners do not believe.
But credit to Palace, because on the day they were diabolical, but the football for that goal actually was really nice bit of play.
And can I just defend myself again? Ramsdale should be England's number one.
Not after Jack Butland were saying. It's cool.
Jack Butland, man.
Yeah.
Anyway. Newcastle versus Watford. Abdi, how do you feel?
Love how you
asked,
Abdi.
The reverse fixture at Vicarage Road in the season.
It was crazy.
Newcastle should have won that about 17-1, bro. And then they kept on missing from open goals. Like, it was ridiculous. Yeah. And in this game as well,
Haller Watford hit the bar twice.
Who?
Haller. Not Haller.
I think he's at Ivory Coast. He's in AFCON.
Joelinton.
Joelinton. Yeah, he's a full time.
He's a centre mid now.
Joel Casemiro. Yeah. He's not a striker anymore. He's a full time centre mid now, isn't it? He's been working because he balled out against Man United earlier this season. Joelinton of all people.
And he hit the ball twice.
Yeah, and then but Watford had a few chances
Chris
as well.
Chris Wood missed the sitter.
Let's talk about that.
that's called desperation, bro.
Burnley apparently are fuming.
It's also called cheekiness.
25.
They knew what they were doing.
Look, Tanya, I just want... What do you mean allowed that
It was a release clause. They literally had no choice.
But I just want to tell you, Tanya, that we warned you that this would happen. You said, oh, who are they going to get? The players and the teams around them. That's... Chris Wood.
Yeah, so no.
Chris Wood has been their top scorer for the last 4 seasons.
I never said they can't get players. I just said they're not going to be able to attack the top players. Like when I'm hearing Mbappe and players like that, that's ridiculous.
No one ever thought Mbappe was going to go Newcastle.
Yeah, because we came on this podcast saying, Mbappe's 700 million release calls. Yeah, they're going to activate.
I'm saying you guys.
Also, do you see that they've, is it Diego Carlos? Or
he's requested.
Yeah, he's requested to leave. To Newcastle. He wants to go to Newcastle.
From Sevilla, yeah?
Yeah.
This guy won the Europa League with Sevilla a couple of years ago.
And he wants to go to Newcastle.
See, this is... Newcastle are probably offering to double his wages.
Of course.
That's the thing,
they could offer 200k.
But just want to say, Tanya, we told you.
Why would you sign... Isn't Chris Wood 30?
Yeah.
And he gets, what, 10, 11 goals a season?
He became the record for the old... Like, the most money for a 30-year-old. 30 plus.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you know what?
Yeah.
Minus the transfer fee, because it's ridiculous. Let me get that on record.
Yeah,
it's not ridiculous for Burnley's accountants.
It's not ridiculous for Burnley's accountants. They were doing somersaults.
Oh no, we're so upset. You activated the release clause. Sign it.
What they did need though is someone who could come in, who knows the Premier League, and can come in and play straight away. Callum Wilson injured again.
He's better than him. Yeah. No, Callum Wilson's better than Chris
Wood. I wasn't going in that direction. But they can't rely on Callum Wilson. He's fit for about a third of the season, every season.
And if they they want to put Callum Wilson and Chris Wood up top, do like a little man, big man situation,
the only thing I can give Eddie Howe a small bit of credit for so far, because I don't necessarily think it's actually gone well for him so far.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I can give him a semblance of credit for is actually being brave enough to make the move, putting Joelinton into centre mid. And it worked.
Yeah.
They need a lot more than just Trippier and Chris Wood.
Diego Carlos is going to be a good signing.
Honestly, those centre backs are horrible, man.
Yeah, Lascelles.
Lascelles is fully
to blame for that Watford goal.
Lascelles comes from the school of, what's his name, Tyrone Mings. players who have some sort of reputation for no ability.
He should have to pay Newcastle to play for them.
Yeah, I think they need a whole extra defence, like back four. They need 3-4 centre mids. And they need another couple wide players as well.
Anymore?
Get a whole team in it. 25 man in January.
They don't have any like creative centre midfielders as well.
Yeah. Joe Willock's not worked out.
Diego Carlos will be a good signing because that's a solid centre back.
He's better than.
But I think like after that, they desperately need to look in midfield, like. It's trapped. Like,
these men have been playing. They've been playing John Shelby in the middle of the park for.
Mate, can they take Harry Wing?
He'd be a good signing for them, you know.
We said creative.
Yeah, he was.
We said creative.
But the thing is, what's his name? Eddie Howe has had midfielders who are basic, you know, with Bournemouth, and they looked all right. Like guys like Lewis Cook and all
Newcastle.
That.
Newcastle, take Harry Wing.
Yeah, that's a good signing for them. They should take Dele Alli.
And Saint-Maximin, what a goal!
And Dele, yeah, they should get Dele.
Yeah, that's their game, isn't it? Their whole game is give it to Saint-Maximin and pray. And that's why. But to be fair, that Watford right back Ngakia, I don't know what he was doing with the ball. Yeah, he looked after Saint-Maximin scored. He was like, he slapped his thighs, going, "Oh no! Why did I do that? Why didn't I just clear it?"
You know, Newcastle have never beaten a Ranieri side.
The club, no Newcastle, like actual Newcastle, yeah, the
Newcastle,
club.
Newcastle, the club.
I've never beaten up. That's interesting. That's
how many Premier League clubs have you been?
Chelsea, Leicester, Watford. And Watford.
Mm. Interesting. So
they should have smashed up Watford earlier this season. Should have beat them in this game as well. So, but yeah, they weren't going to get any points against Leicester when he was manager, and they weren't going to get any points against Chelsea in it. So I guess.
Although Newcastle were decent-ish.
All right, if you were to choose between one of these two teams to go down, who do you think would go down?
Are you asking who we want or who we think?
Whoever you feel like you want to answer.
This
is your podcast.
That's
your podcast
there.
As well, bro.
I quite like football clubs with tradition.
So Newcastle
to stay up.
Yeah.
And I'm done with all these yo-yo clubs, Watford, Norwich.
I'm done West with Brom. Watford sacking a manager every 5 minutes.
West Brom.
And I tell you who I want to see in the league next year, 1,000%. Forget Fulham and these men who will go back down again and whatnot. And it will probably happen to the team I'm going to mention anyway, but I want to see them back and I want to see Blackburn back in the Prem, I've got to be honest. Yeah. And they're going strong. They're going very strong.
I want
the
QPR
top
up,
the Championship.
Because when I was younger, QPR was one of my... Have you seen, just quickly on a digressing thing, have you seen how many goals Mitrovic has got?
He's taken
He's got
that.
27 goals already, brother. He's got a hat-trick at the weekend, yeah?
Yeah.
And then Mark was sending videos of Andy Carroll's disallowed goals, yeah, in the group. But failed to tell us that Reading actually lost that game 7-0 at home, yeah? So he just went, Andy Carroll's disallowed goals. I was like, huh?
I didn't actually say that. I just posted the clip.
Fulham scored 7 goals, no, yeah?
What you said was, this: watch for the second goal.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Yeah,
what a volley!
I think if it's offside and he scores that level goal, you put the flag down, bro.
Did they have VAR in the Championship?
No,
they don't. That's why it was a massive talking point in the FA Cup. Actually, that they only had VAR in the third round at Prem grounds. So already that competition already was really unbalanced because all of the Championship teams.
Yeah, but to be fair, like
League One,
there won't even be enough space at Cambridge United for VAR equipment.
No, I know, I get that, But they shouldn't. They should have then said, "Right, we
no,
won't do
no
that.
VAR
we,
at all." Yeah.
Let's move on because we spent a lot of time on this. Norwich did a massive favour to their staying up hopes by beating Everton, hapless Everton, 2-1.
Wow.
Which yeah. also means that now Rafa Benitez has been sacked.
He had to, man. He one win in 13, and obviously we Arsenal, gave him obviously. We gave him an extension on his contract.
But does that annoy you even more?
1,000%.
Sorry, what are you saying, Tom?
No, I was just going to say, do you think he could have done better than with the players that he's got?
Yes. Better than beating losing Norwich.
I think he was very unlucky.
Their players are so bad.
Yeah, no, I think he was unlucky because you've had DCL out for, 80% of the season, Richarlison out for 60%. The squad isn't great anyway.
But the defending is shambolic.
But, yeah, outside
this left-back they brought in. What's
yeah. it
they shouldn't be 16th, 17th.
Wasn't it Mikalenko?
Yeah, oh my God.
Junior said hapless. I think, bruv, he needs to wear hapless on the back of the show, bruv. That guy is not good. I watched the highlights and he looks bad in the highlights. Yeah, yeah. This is meant to be the best parts of the game.
Do you see the pass that he gave?
He passed backwards,
no,
yeah.
But did you see his reaction? So he looks back, he sees Pickford, obviously, but he doesn't see the Norwich striker. So he passes back. As soon as he realises, he doesn't decide to run back or nothing. Mm. He just stands there with his head in his hands like a cartoon.
Please no, please.
Looking like a meme.
And it's embarrassing. Like you said, obviously, Tanya, you were talking about how some of their players are really bad. But let's not forget, like lots of Norwich players are horrible. Like Norwich have a midfielder called, true. I'm pretty sure his name is Placenta. I watched him in the game against us, and he is horrid, man. And look, I don't think Dean Smith fully knows the good players that he has at his disposal. Like Cantwell has been on the bench forever, and I think he's probably going to go to Newcastle now. So
that would be a good signing.
Shout out to my Irish brother though, Ida.
Yeah, Ida.
For opening his Premier League account. Yeah. Ida the Geezer. That's what I call him from now on. Shout out to him for opening his Premier League account.
Who else scored? They scored two goals. Michael Keane, man. Another
he's awful, man. How Burnley got a lot of money for him.
Yeah.
But you know what? Yeah. If Everton has any ambition, me personally, they should get Graham Potter. And they should just raid Brighton.
No, I'm sorry. If I'm Graham Potter right now,
I wouldn't go
ahead. I'm looking at those two squads and actually sitting back and thinking, I probably
Graham Potter's
more.
been at Brighton long enough and he's built this team. He's built a team of a lot of good players.
Don't you think at Everton though, there's like opportunity, like Everton,
you just said their whole team is dead.
Times they might have money, but run me through their last four or five managers and then tell me how that went.
Benitez, Carlo Ancelotti did all right. Sort of.
He did a runner. He couldn't get out of there quick enough.
Thank you, Tanya. Don't go any further. Since we've stumbled across this, let's talk about the names that have been linked with the Everton job. So, club legend in, like, air quotes, the biggest air quotes you can find, Wayne Rooney.
Rooney, innit?
I think he's been a combined 2.5 years at Everton.
Frank Lampard. And now...
Oh, God.
And now, just came through on the Sky Sports notification thing, Jose Mourinho.
If Everton get Jose Mourinho, then they have not learned. Because what are you just going to get? Three washed up has-been managers, yeah? This isn't 2007. Stop going to get managers from back then, yeah?
Bring Jose Mourinho. That would be great. Imagine Mourinho, Conte, Klopp, Pep, all these
for entertainment purposes only, but for the people on the blue half of Merseyside, I think, don't do it. Don't do it. Because he's clearly washed up.
Potter's the guy.
But Junior's obviously right. Potter, if he's going to go, he has to go a level above Everton.
Because
he's doing with Brighton right now, Everton are in their rearview mirror right now. He's got a quality squad of players that are around that level that can get better, and he's improving them. I think Everton will be a step down.
Yeah.
I just thought, because Everton, it is a bigger club. And
it's a bigger club, but Brighton are on the up, Everton are on the down.
Yeah, and Potter should just go Everton, go get their strikers and say, that's it, my team's complete now. I'll just take your strikers, I don't want to be there.
All right, let's move on to Wolves versus Southampton. So there's been a lot of praise for Wolves on this podcast.
Has there?
Is this another team you hate now?
No. I like Wolves. I like their manager.
Okay, but there's been a lot of... I don't know what
I don't know what you're talking about. Last week, I said the only other two teams I like is Brighton and Wolves. But I forgot to say I like Palace as well.
And Mark has been very... Yeah. Like, he's had a lot of praise for Wolves. I have as well. So, what are you trying to say?
I don't know, man.
Tanya doesn't listen to podcasts outside of when she speaks.
But aside from the result, because if you would have seen the result, you probably thought, oh, Southampton got spanked. But Southampton... First half, at least, were the better team.
Can I just say something? If Daniel Levy, or Paratici listens to this podcast, because he don't, bring me James Ward-Prowse.
See, bring I have me a whole guy, time to talk about
free
it.
Kicks. I don't care. Bring me him for his free kicks, because I cannot see Harry Kane pick another free kick.
All right, that's fair.
I can't watch this anymore.
Bring me
James Ward-Prowse.
Firstly, that is one of the best free kicks I've ever seen.
Wow. It's
phenomenal. And it's not even his usual technique. That's no. He usually goes for the Beckham.
Did you see his post-match interview?
No.
He goes, I've been... recently, some of the lads have told me to try it. Yeah. So I've been trying it and it's
you
been
never
a bit
see
fun.
Him do that.
And then he said, when I got the ball, he said, you know what? I'm just going to try it. And he went top corner.
You never see him... I respect that Tanya did say that, bring him just for the free kicks. Yeah. But honestly, like, I'm not criticising any of his dead ball ability. But outside of a dead ball, I don't see a good player. That's my personal opinion. I don't see it. I don't see what else he brings outside of a dead ball. And if you're going to do that, oh, well, bring him for his dead ball ability. I'm hearing people say, bring him to Arsenal. I'm just like, bro, David Bentley had good dead ball ability. Michael Brighton is, both of them were called the next Beckham. Michael Brighton's in Leicester's reserve. David Bentley's probably in Ibiza going, ole, ole, ole. Now, so I'm sorry.
I hear what you're saying in terms of that opinion.
Yeah, I think you're being hard.
But I think you're being harsh, and obviously his dead ball qualities are his outstanding attribute, but to say he's got nothing really outside of that.
What is he good at after that?
I think he's, you're kind of putting me on the spot here, but I think as a centre midfielder, to be able to hold the ball and withstand pressure and a press, he's good at. To find the right pass, he's good at. Right angles for a pass, he's good at. I think he's good at kind of setting up attacks from deep for Southampton, and I could go on. I think he's good
reliable
at these things. I'm not talking world class, but when you're good at so many things and you've got a couple of world class attributes to add to that, i.e. corners, free kicks, penalties, then there's a player in there who can play for not a top team, but definitely a team better.
I hear what you're saying, but I disagree on most of those.
I do think he's a good passer. He sets the tempo for Southampton, and he's reliable. He's never injured. He always plays for them.
Yeah, I mean, when you're only effective at 10% of the game.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
But you were making...
He's like a kicker in rugby.
Yeah, just let it go. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't... I'm not a fan. Just let it go. Would you have him turn to now?
No, I want him. So I'd honestly take him at Spurs. I would. Over, like, other midfielders that we've got. Winks, he's useless. Delhi, he's useless. Absolutely take
but
him
he doesn't
at
play
Spurs.
In the, he doesn't play in Delhi's position.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, as like a
midfielder,
a player in our squad, yeah, he's someone that I would want, definitely. But we won't get him. So.
All right.
We
move. But that was a quality free kick, guys. That's
quality free kick. Good game. Another 3 points for Wolves, who were quietly building a lot of momentum ahead of this second half of the season. Where they, again, I'm going to use the word quiet because I can't think of another adjective, but they're
silently.
Quietly, I like that. Silently kind of wedged themselves into eighth place.
They're creeping up the table.
Like, the adjectives are flowing.
The cliche part of the podcast.
They're creeping up there,
going
man,
about
man,
their business.
They're going about their business. You are a waste, man. I swear I was just about to say that, you know. They're going about their business quietly, but they're here, and it's not just the points that they're picking up. They're actually looking good on the pitch.
Yeah,
Tanya, you mentioned it earlier. Impressive manager who's come in. It's been a seamless transition from
Nuno.
Oh,
yeah. Nuno Ball.
And it's also been a seamless transition in goal from Patricio to Sarr, who's been
really
impressive.
He's had his moments.
He had his moments earlier on in the season, and you can forgive those because he was kind of acclimatising, but recently he's been
top.
Is it
me or does he look exactly like David De Gea?
No, he does. I hear what you're saying.
Exactly.
I was watching their game a couple of weeks ago. I was just like, well, they've just got the same person in both goals.
And also, transfer news is that they've signed another Portuguese person.
Chiquinho. That is amazing.
Yeah,
name,
I saw that.
That is, no, that's, that you see, is, you see, they went chicken shop and said, let's put a Portuguese spin on it. Or
do you see the quote?
No.
He goes, I'm going to Wolves because a load of my friends are there.
Yeah. All right. Mum, can I change schools because my mates are there?
Before we move on to the Sunday games, there's an important Sunday game that didn't happen. Which,
oh, what about Maynard?
Oh, we're talking about,
oh yeah, because
oh yeah, I left
it on
out,
the
yeah.
agenda. So okay, all right.
Oh yeah.
Aston Villa played Man United. They went 2-0 up. Abdi's favorite player scored 2 goals.
Let me talk about that first.
The second one was a banging.
But that first goal, yeah. First and foremost, yeah. If your set piece routine.
Your what?
I was going to let it go, but I was dying.
I was so close.
Set piece.
I didn't even mean to. I was just like, what? I didn't even mean to. My God.
If your set piece routine ends up with you taking that shot from that angle, it's not a good set piece routine. Because firstly, he took a shot from about 30 yards, yeah. That every single Aston Villa defender was in the box, yeah. And then it was going straight into the Martinez's hand,
Emi Martinez felt sorry for him.
Martinez was thinking about how am I going to cry about Arsenal after the game? Yeah.
Oh yeah, you guys.
And then that's why. Yeah. So, but yeah, obviously they got the goal then, and then obviously the game really, the thing with Man United, they're always going to have a yo-yo game because they just do not have any element of control in the midfield.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, even regardless of Ralph, the personnel is important. Firstly, Cavani, and I've removed the Cavani element from you anymore now. God. Yeah. So, but Cavani, you look
straight at me.
You're Cucurella now.
You're still looking at him.
You went Cavani.
All right, shall I just look at you then?
Man gave me complete eye contact.
He's sitting opposite me. I can't help but not look at him.
We're all sitting opposite each other. All
right, cool. Mark, Bruno.
God, cool, you're a mug.
Joking.
All right, Cavani.
Cavani's been so bad in the last couple of games. Literally, I don't think he participated in this fixture. He probably had less touches than the referee in this game.
And can you clarify how many touches the ref had?
The ref probably, you know, he probably kicked it a couple of times in it and played a couple of through balls in it. That's why Man United got possession a couple of times. Before we get on to Aston Villa, I just want to talk about Man United. The imbalance in the midfield means they're always going to have this yo-yo game. They can't control the midfield because their two centre midfielders, well, Matic a little bit more, but Matic is really old and washed up. Fred.
Oh God, Matic.
Regardless, if it's Fred or McTominay or whoever they play in midfield, those are guys who don't really... Fred, sometimes he comes to the ball, but McTominay is always hiding. And McTominay, he's not a guy who's going to give you any sort of progression from the first fade of midfield into the final third. Bruno, we know what he's on. Every time he gets the ball, it's rocket ball launcher time. That's it. Blast it to as far as you can to someone else. Some of the passes in this game I was like, you're taking the absolute piss. Like, you shouldn't get your wages anymore. How are you going to pass it to, what's his name, Elanga or Greenwood, when you're blasting it into the crowd time and time again? And people will look at, this is what I hate the most, yeah. People will look at this game and think, oh, Bruno scored 2 goals. He obviously played well and everything like that. But if you watch the actual game, like, if you're going to base a whole game based on statistics, yeah, then don't watch the game, innit? Just look at the results. That's what you want to. Look on those statistics websites. That's what you want to look. Oh, one assist. And I've seen people do tweets, yeah, with listing all the stats. The most meaningless stat to me is ball recoveries. I hate that stat so much because if Mark was playing opposite to me and he bad passed and went straight to me, that's classed as a ball recovery. But if you do 10 of those, oh, we got 10 ball recoveries. That's amazing. No. The opposition player's an idiot. So it's like, but yeah, Bruno, I just can't stand that guy.
If I'm a Man United fan, I'd be a little bit frustrated with Greenwood as well because over the last few games, all he does
is shoot.
He has no second thought to like, oh, there's someone in a better position. Man United were on the break in the first half and Bruno, funnily enough, played it to Greenwood. The guy was in the box free. What's his name? Elanga.
Elanga, yeah.
And he shot from an angle which was never going to go in. And if I'm a Man United fan, I'd be so frustrated because those are the opportunities that if you score that in the first half and it's 2-0 and then you get the third one in the second half, you've wrapped up the game.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's time for Mason Greenwood to just improved that element of his game massively. We all know he can strike a ball with both feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think before the season started, we were talking about finishers in the league, who were the top finishers. And yeah. Green was up there on both feet. But what I don't see necessarily, and this might be because of his age, or there was this whole article I was reading last week about under Solskjaer, the lack of actual coaching in training sessions. So, you know, they might set up and say, look, this is how we're setting up this week, and this is where we're looking to ladify.
I don't think that conversation has been. just go out and do what you want, lads.
But there's nothing in terms of, and this was actually an article about Marcus Rashford, but there's nothing in terms of that one-to-one coaching to say, look, this is where we feel you can improve, and this is where we feel like you need to kind of cut out your game. So Mason Greenwood's obviously not got that either, but in the final third, his decision-making needs to be a bit better.
I want to see him down the middle, honestly.
Definitely like, down the middle. But you even players like Thierry Henry for the start of his career is playing out on the left, because it's where you learn a lot about kind of the Prem and what your manager wants from you before you become the main man up top. But with Greenwood, for him to become that main man up top, he has to develop that build up type of element in his game where he can bounce a pass off of Bruno, for example, and then make the run to receive it, and then automatically you're in a better position to shoot than where you shot from.
Yep.
Or just using the players around him, bouncing off those, making those late runs into the box, trying to make that run kind of between the fullback and the centre back. That's not what we're not seeing from Greenwood, and it goes back to what you were saying about he shoots too much, he shoots when it's not on.
Mm-hmm.
And there were murmurings of frustrations in the United camp because of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just think there's an element of his game. Whilst I think he's a world-class talent, there are aspects of his game which aren't close to being world-class at the moment.
Yeah, you're right. But I honestly feel like I want to see Greenwood down the middle, but also playing with certain players that are good with combinations. So you got, like, having Bruno behind you, you're not going to get the ball all the time because he's going to kick it 40 yards away from where you are.
But that also doesn't mean that you shoot every time you
get the
ball.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But I want to see, like, guys, Man United actually have players, regardless of their form. They're good in terms of combining with other players. Obviously, Pogba's been injured. That is Van der Beek's game, man. That's what Van der Beek does.
But he never plays.
But the manager bought him on for literally, like, what, the 88th
minute. It's ridiculous.
About control.
Exactly, talking about control.
I know.
And he's bringing on Sancho before Van der Beek.
He gave him... Who did United have in the cup just recently?
West Ham. Aston Villa.
Aston Villa.
Oh, yeah, Villa. He brought him on for the 15... Like, he's... At this point, Van der Beek, he has to go because he's not even getting... We're talking third round FA Cup.
And he's been lied to a lot. Like, that's the same thing with Lingard as well. Didn't they say to Lingard,
at the start of the season,
you'll fight for your sport, and he hasn't played.
The thing is, like, he was signed by Oli, but when Rangnick came in...
He wasn't an Oli signing, though, I don't think.
Yeah, I've read that as well.
I don't think he was an Oli signing, but I'm saying, like, he signed for United under Oli and didn't get the game time. Then Rangnick said, got a good group of players. Van der Beek's going to play more. Haven't seen that at all. So I just think
I don't understand it.
I don't know. He was balling out with Ajax, so I don't know what the...
He's another one who just doesn't suit Man United style of play.
Yeah.
They play chaos ball.
I'd take him every day.
They play chaos ball. They play go out, lads, and do what you want. And he's a guy who's... short passes, making run off the... He's all about teamwork and this team structure. It just doesn't make sense. Like, you could do so much better in that midfield now, especially he's playing 4-2-2-2. Why is Van der Beek not playing? Do you want to keep playing these losers like McFred and Matic, whose legs have finished 5 years ago? And it's just like... and also, they kept Mata. For what reason? Mata's not even getting a look at anymore. Just quickly, Rangnick, he's let himself down massively with the whole Martial thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is that all about?
He essentially said Martial refused to be on the bench. Then Martial says, no, I didn't. Then Rangnick says, I didn't mean it like that. Well, you just lied then, didn't it? Just say, I lied.
Yeah, that was awful.
It's awful, man. You can't do that to a player.
They've blocked moves in the Prem. So, like, two Prem clubs have gone in for him. And
Tottenham was one of them.
And they blocked the...
It's ridiculous, man. What are you going to do? Just have him rot in the reserves when he's a saleable asset?
Yeah. I think it's just sad, like, when a club does that, because, like, you're not playing him. And if he wants, like, for example, like, Lingard went on loan to West Ham, and you see how much, like, he improved and he was enjoying football again.
Man United is toxic, man. They're actually toxic.
He's toxic.
So before we move on to Villa, before we were going to talk about earlier, Are we ruling out United from top four?
No, you can't. It's just too, because all the other teams are too yo-yo as well.
You can't. Anyone from seventh, I know I just gave Wolves a lot of praise, but I just think anyone from seventh all the way up.
So West Ham, Arsenal, Tottenham, Spurs.
Is in that race.
Well, yeah. Tottenham, Man United, not Tottenham, Spurs.
But I can't lie though. From what I'm seeing from this manager, I'm not convinced by him.
Yeah,
I
don't, nothing I'm has sorry, changed. Nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed.
Klopp and Tuchel
can talk about him all they want, but for me, from what I'm seeing so far, I don't know. I think Man United getting top four is questionable right now.
Klopp and Tuchel sold a dream, man. They were like, yeah. He taught me everything I know. But yeah,
but I think it goes back to what Mark said. Like, when you've been out of, like, you haven't managed a team in so long and you've just been, like, director of football, like, you're not going to be.
He's director of football for a Bundesliga team, bro.
No, he doesn't mean. Wasn't it Spartak Moscow?
Even what? You're not improving the point, mate.
Or Lokomotiv Moscow.
Mate, he's only ever managed in the Bundesliga, yeah? And. Bro, that says for itself, innit? Yeah.
So. And Martial score the goal that knocked his Schalke team out of the Champions League?
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, anyway,
maybe he's going upset about
to,
that.
Going on to Villa.
No, wait, can I say? Villa with Sanson, trash.
Big up Villa.
Villa My without team. Sanson.
I said it from day.
Coutinho comes on, transformed.
First and foremost, it is crazy how many better players Villa have than Man United. It's great. Konsa would get in the team.
Mate.
Both the fullbacks are better than their fullbacks. Douglas Luiz walks into that team. McGinn walks into that team.
McGinn. Do you know what? Danny Ings. Man United.
Yeah, I saw that. But Man United's best player was Sanson on the day.
Yeah, I mean, Villa, both the goals they conceded were from errors. I don't know what he was doing.
From
he
him?
It was Martinez's error was the first one.
No, but he gave away the free kick.
Yeah, I guess
that,
so. But
that didn't need to be a free kick.
Yeah, but I don't think it's like a goal giving away error. You wouldn't say that.
Fair enough, but he shouldn't
The second one, he's passing without looking, which is ridiculous as well. I think Villa, you made the point in the group, Mark, where you said they're better with Ollie Watkins down the middle rather than on the left.
Yeah.
I think they're just better with one striker.
Yeah, 100%.
Regardless of either, I think I personally prefer Danny Ings. You guys will probably, you prefer Watkins.
Is that if they're going to play one striker, essentially what I was saying is, for me, that would be Watkins.
Watkins, yeah. So I just think they're better with one striker. I don't like having a striker. You lose a lot with a striker on the wing. Buendia, this guy, there's certain points in the game where he looks so... He looks so quality at certain points in the game. But then there's other times where his passes are so sloppy and so lax. I'm just like, you know, Villa could have won that game. But the start of the show for me... And I've said it before, is Jacob Ramsey. I just love watching him play.
Yep.
Absolute baller.
Love that
Absolute
guy.
Baller. No fear in his game at all. You saw, like, I remember just a little thing. You remember the game against Leicester where Schmeichel dropped it and he blasted his hand off and he put the ball into the net. Just that shows me this guy's made of the tough stuff.
He kicked a man's hand. Yeah, made of the tough stuff.
Yeah.
But didn't even kick his hand, by the way. I was still shocked that goal was disallowed.
Yeah, exactly. Same. But still, like, I just like the way he's contributing as well. He got a goal a couple of weeks ago against, I think it was Norwich scored. He scored against Arsenal, belting goal at the Emirates. Mm-hmm. And golden assist in this game. But, I mean, the biggest talking point was the return of your boy, Mark. So tell us about Coutinho.
I'm sure everyone saw it, to be honest. It was written in the stars almost. When he was standing there waiting to come on, I kind of just thought he's going to make an impact in some way, shape or form. And turns out it was the equalising goal.
And also, when he came on, they were 2-0 down.
2-0 down. I'm going to be honest. I think this league is kind of... This is where he plays his best football. All I needed to see was 30 minutes from him, or however long it was, 25 minutes, however long he had against United, for me to think, wow, the amount of times I watched you when you were at Barca or when you were on loan to Bayern and... I didn't see this type of performance from you. I think he's built for the Prem. This is where you see him play his best football.
He was heavily involved in Jacob Ramsey's goal. Where
It wasn't an assist though, was it?
No. Fred.
Fred kicked it.
Yeah, Fred kicked
quality
it.
Quality finisher.
So I saw a lot of Liverpool fans on Twitter questioning perhaps why didn't Liverpool sign him on loan, considering, as you've said it before, Liverpool's... sometimes inability to unlock a team or play against a team with 10 men who just sit back and that kind of stuff. Would you have liked to have seen Coutinho come back?
not sentimentally.
Not so, well, the guys, no, are the guy's a quality player, so there's room for him in every squad in the league, to be honest. Maybe Bayern City, because they're so, literally just because they're so stacked. But I understand, yes is the answer to the question, by the way, would have loved to have seen him come back, but you can't disregard the way he left the club. And that's where you've got to kind of say, right, you know what, you had your chance, you forced yourself out of the club, so you're not coming back. And Jurgen Klopp's a manager who values loyalty and honesty. And for that reason, I just don't think he would have ever given that the go-ahead. So as a fan, I would have loved to have seen him back. As someone who's kind of connected with Liverpool FC in the sense that I've supported them for years and years and years, probably not, just because of the way he left. You know, he faked a back injury to miss a game that he was due to play for us, so he wouldn't get injured, because he knew his impending move to Barca was coming. You know, a couple of interviews here and there. Just for me, it put a bit of a downer on his legacy at Liverpool. So, yeah, it's a shame. But him as a player and a person, I love him, but probably wasn't right for him to come back.
Although, like, you are a bit short in numbers in centre mid right now. So, but I think just in Klopp's mind, he's probably thinking, I just spent 30 mil on Thiago a couple of years ago. I've got
20.
Well, whatever in it. He's a big name player coming into the team. You've got Curtis Jones and Harvey Elliott. Yeah. So he's probably thinking, exactly, do I want to go back to that guy?
But it is only on loan.
The funny thing is that it is only on loan. Let's not forget how much he's paid by Barca. And I think Villa are covering like 65% of that or something, which is still like 150k a week or whatnot.
Ridiculous.
Madness.
But funnily enough, you mentioned centre mid. I actually would have brought him in more so as that kind of left wing cover. Those half spaces, or an advanced left-sided eight. But outside of Sadio Mane, if we're playing Jota up top, we've got nothing in terms of playing out on that left. Obviously, Curtis Jones is back now. He was out for a couple of months, and he was impressive against Brentford. We'll come on to that. He can definitely do a job on the left. But if we were to bring him back, less of that kind of... You've got to remember, our midfield's quite... based on working hard first and foremost, and the creativity comes second. Creativity comes from Trent and Robbo.
Just one quickly
really
point.
Conscious of time.
One quickly thing. I think those Barcelona accountants should all be in jail. That's got to be pound for pound in terms of money, along with Hazard, the worst signings I've ever seen in it. 140 million, and he's only been successful when he leaves the club. This is ridiculous.
All right. The North London derby was postponed. Arsenal proposed.
You're going to cry, Tanya?
Listen, I've said my piece on it.
I thought you were going to just give us silence there.
Mark, so the listeners don't know, but obviously there was a discussion that we had in the group chat on, I think it was Saturday.
You say we, but it was just Saturday. You and Tanya.
No, you were involved.
I was involved as well.
No, I came in and left early, but...
Mark, did you read it or...?
Oh, Jesus, the one... That one, when I come back to my phone and there was 150 WhatsApp messages. That one, ask me if I read that.
You missed the belt in...
I'm not going to lie, I did.
We don't have time to get into it. I read it. Let's just...
No, I was just asking how you felt about it. I wasn't going to ask in details. Can you relay the whole conversation for us? Abdi, now you're conscious of time.
Fair enough. All right, let's...
He had his popcorn out. He was loving life.
I did have my popcorn out, I can't lie. Hold on. Let's make this clear. I wasn't here for this conversation. And why was the last 25% of the conversation just grilling me?
Oh, yeah.
That's why I wanted to ask you.
Why have I come back? So I'm all catching up.
Listeners, I put my hand up. That was solely me.
It wasn't solely you, though. It was all three of you, bro.
No, me as well.
I did not say anything.
There was one about Klopp in there from you.
Me, no.
And you was all busting
banter. He said something
obviously
about a red crayon, innit?
I never said anything.
Liverpool submitted their positive test. They said submitted it, but took a picture of all the same tests.
That's what Arsenal physios did to Tierney and them, man, for the game on Sunday.
Don't worry, just worry about Thursday.
Mad injured, innit?
Just worry about Thursday.
I'm not worried. Abdi blew it up.
Do you want to talk about the Liverpool game quickly?
West
Ham versus Leeds.
Just to clarify, by the way, I wasn't here for this conversation. There was about 160 WhatsApp messages, and for the last half of them, I'm out here just getting grilled. So there you go. That's an insight into our WhatsApp chat.
And I think it's important to know that Tanya had a meltdown and left the group, but then she came back.
I did. She had a tantrum. Yeah, I was throwing a tantrum.
Come on,
tantrums over here.
But myself, Tanya, and everyone, we've all made up. We're all friends again.
Yeah, man, come on. And there's football debate.
Tanya, you did actually leave the group. Yeah. Sorry for interrupting you there. I didn't even know. I'm scrolling back up to get evidence of Junior. I know you did draw me out just once.
Oh, did I? What did I say?
Hey, I'm not going to lie, I definitely started it.
No, you definitely started it. As an example, Salah is an expensive Townsend.
I really shouldn't have used Townsend, you know. You shouldn't have used Townsend.
Yeah, because you were calling for him to be in the England squad.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you no, was. Anyway, yeah.
Junior, I was wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Say no more.
Junior messaged me some slander.
Yes, you did, Tanya. You jumped on and you were Junior, talking about Anfield, Trashfield or something.
Yeah, that's the worst slander name I've ever heard in my life.
You know what? I was going to respond to everything that I had just seen, and one of the last messages I see was that. I just closed my phone.
It's literally not worth it. But Junior messaged me privately some slander to you.
Mad.
All right, do you want to talk about West Ham?
Let's talk about West Ham versus Leeds. Harrison hat-trick. That's his first hat-trick.
Can I just say, I bet that's a sentence you never thought you'd say.
Harrison hat-trick.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe not.
It's
the first time he's thought about him.
Yeah, literally.
The start of the show was Rafinha. Rafinha was amazing.
I do like Harrison, though. I think he's a quality player. But yeah, it's good because Rafinha has been carrying Leeds this season. Yeah. But it's good that other players because obviously they're missing Bamford and so on, but Harrison...
Defeated squad, but they played. Anyway, continue.
She's talking about the fact that Leeds played and Arsenal didn't play.
Well, Leeds are a bunch of mugs then, isn't it?
They won the game 3-2.
Let's send your application to the Premier League.
No, but let's get away from that.
Yeah, no, big or not, they won.
We're with 10 seconds, basically. So shout out Leeds, isn't it?
I'm glad for that result though.
But yeah,
shame on West Ham.
If you're West Ham, now let's get a semblance of normality back. If you are West Ham, that is a game. If you had any hopes, look, I know top four is a massive stretch for West Ham. But if you are a West Ham fan, that right there at home to Leeds is a game you have to be winning to stand any chance of being in that race.
My heart bleeds. Leeds
have been on terrible form as well. So
same on West Ham. All they do, stupid, pathetic little fans, all they do is cry, oh, Tottenham, get battered everywhere they go. You
sounds like a good
embarrassing fan base. You fucking blow bubbles, mate. Bubbles.
Can you wash your mouth? You know, this isn't an explicit podcast. Yeah,
well, it is now.
Yeah,
just quickly, straight yes or no answer. Next English squad, Jared Bowen. Yes or no?
100%. You. This is a manager, Gareth Southgate, who always says I pick players on form, which is a lie, by the way.
He's a lie.
He's picking the same players.
Cody and Mings.
Yeah, it's mad. On form, Cody, actually, this season, last season, has been pretty good.
But let me tell you this right now. Let me tell you this right now. Gareth, if you're listening, if I do not see Benjamin Jonathan White, I don't know if his name is Jonathan. If I do not see that name on the English squad, I'm going to flip out.
Yeah. And Ramsdale should be number one. Yeah.
But Ben White he's been overlooked in the last couple of squads.
More of this Pickford nonsense.
If I do not see Benjamin White in that English squad, we're gonna fight.
Mark, Liverpool.
Yeah, but
I just seen what Abdi did. He said Brentford 1-3-0.
I just try and draw him out.
I didn't even notice that.
Neither did I.
Oh yeah, I just seen that.
We haven't got much time, but just run us through what happened in the game.
You kind of did it on the agenda. Quite a simple
one. Hang on a minute. Why have you put Fabinho 3-3 Salah replacement? You're such a waste, man.
He's got 3-3. Am I lying though?
He has got 3-3.
Back to Mark.
it was nice for us to go out there without Salah, Mane, obviously Keita as well. To go out there and just kind of cruise to a win. Dare I say it was. I was expecting, especially after we went there earlier this season and drew 3-3.
Yeah,
I was expecting quite a chaotic game. I was expecting Brentford to lash it long as they did against us and pick up the second balls earlier on in the season. Didn't happen this time around. It was cruise control for us. Honestly, I'm not just saying that. I know you watched the game as well.
I watched the first half. You watched 30 minutes. Half. 30 minutes and then I changed over to Leeds game.
fair enough. So it kind of set up a little bit differently to how we usually do. So it started the game as a kind of 4-2-3-1 with Hendo and Fabinho just sitting. Ox on the right.
Minamino
on the left. Bobby in the 10 and Jota up top. Then he switched to a 4-3-3 at halftime.
You
kind of mentioned it in the first half. Trent started coming infield a little bit less and started providing us that whip second half.
10 assists, you know.
10 assists in the league this season. His own record is 13.
That's crazy. Like he's, at this point of the season, he's 3 away from his own record.
And his record is the Premier League's record.
Yeah. He's 10 away from the actual record, taking away being a defender.
Yeah.
That... Thierry and De Bruyne have.
It's crazy. For a defender, the previous record was 12, which was his.
Yeah.
Then he broke it, 13, and now he's on course to break it again. He's mad. He's unbelievable.
He's unbelievable, and it was really key for us to win this game. Just to keep up that momentum. We've obviously got a massive game this Thursday evening.
Carabao Cup.
And outside of that, anything other than a win. And I know I mentioned it earlier about the title race being over, but there's always hope. But if we didn't win this game.
What was your next game?
We got Palace away with no Salah and no Mane.
Yeah, okay.
But everyone knows Zaha.
It'll be
an interesting game.
Yeah.
We always find Palace away tough. I don't know what it is.
But you've always got Mane in that game. So.
True.
Every team has a bogey team.
True.
Yeah, but Palace's bogey player is Mane because he scores about 15 goals a season.
That's very true. But you're right. Yeah, Fabinho 3-3. It was good. Minamino scoring on his birthday. Like I said to you guys in the chat, for me, he's not it. He's at best a decent squad option. But outside of that, he's not Liverpool standard.
Sounds like a £20 million sell.
Sell pretty soon. He was a 7 million incoming. Yeah. We will make profit on him, 100%.
Guaranteed.
He's just turned 27. He's going to be entering his peak of his career. But unfortunately, from my perspective, that won't be at Liverpool.
Terrible miss against Arsenal.
Yeah, my God.
Thankfully, there was no chance he could have missed the one against Brentford because it was literally an open goal.
that was
really,
good for Bobby,
really
though.
Nice of Bobby, to give him that. That's the type of selfless player Bobby is. He could have had another goal for himself, but nice way to kind of round off the weekend of Premier League football for me. And like I said, it was just good to see us playing some decent football without the big boys there.
Fair enough. The return of Man of the Week.
Ooh.
So I actually don't know who is meant to go first. So
it's just vibes it. Whoever wants to go first, go first.
So should we just do it alphabetically? Oh. Abdi, go on.
My Man of the Week.
He's going to pick my player, I bet you. You're going to pick him.
All right, okay. my Man of the Week is Lewandowski. Scored a hat-trick at the weekend. Got best player in the Champions League last year, so... Shout out to Lewandowski, he's my player, Man of the Week.
Fair enough. I'm going to give it to Harrison. He's got a hat-trick and important 3 points for Leeds. So that's my Man of the Week. Mark?
Cool. I'm going to give it to... Genuinely have no idea at this point. So I'm going to give it to Ida from Norwich. Just for simply... might not be the most popular pick, and that will be evident when the poll goes live on our socials, WTATL official. But he has opened his Premier League account, and it kind of got Norwich on the way to picking up a very important 3 points.
He did want to give it to a Liverpool player, so he said Irish player.
You know, last time Mark said that he washed us all with his Cody pick.
Yeah, all right, same again then. Same again.
Tanya?
Well, I'm glad no one's taken mine. I'm going to go for Jacob Ramsey.
Because you didn't put it on the agenda.
Getting the goal.
My bad.
That's actually your fault.
The goal and the assist.
Oh, it's my fault because of your memory. Yeah, sorry, Tan, start again. Sorry, we talk all over you. Go on.
Jacob Ramsey, getting the goal and the assist for Villa against United. And yeah, he's a good young prospect. So yeah, big him up.
I genuinely would have given it to Coutinho, not even joking. But Ida can have mine. Ida can have mine.
Yeah, Harrison can have mine. All right, well. Oh, Gabon. There you go. Gabon just scored.
All right, okay.
Cool. So catch us on the next exciting episode of We'll Talk About That Later.
Peace out. Sports Social Podcast Network.